So good morning, everybody. If I didn't catch you earlier, I tried to catch most of you and tell you good morning. But so I heard good things from Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave was here last week, and he really enjoys coming back and seeing everybody and seeing new faces here. So he got that treat of seeing new faces and things. And that's always, it's wonderful that, you know, he comes back and he gets that opportunity to do so. So, but anyway, I want to get into the message this morning because we've been talking in a series about guardrails in our lives, right? These like boundaries that we should have, these guides that we should say, hey, you know, this is where I need to be. And these guardrails are something in our lives because we need to be kept safe in our lives, right? We like to be safe. So just like in a highway system where they put these guardrails up, they're made there to catch us from going over their edge or to keep from something from coming in over the edge at us. But they're always put in a special area of the highway, and we call that the safety zone. Guardrails are not put outside the safety zone. Well, and it's done for that, and it's for the simple reason to keep us safe, to keep us in the middle of the path. Not towards even the edge of the path, but the middle of the path where it's the safest for us to be to get to our destination, right? Well, the Bible does the same thing. God does the same thing in our lives where he puts guardrails in our lives to keep us safe from things. And this last couple of times we've been talking about the guardrails in our lives are actually there to kind of keep us safe from ourselves. That we can really tend to screw up our lives. To do things in such a way that it really goes off the rail, and then the ride gets a little bit bumpy, gets a little bit squirrely. It gets to the point where it's harder to get back on the path the longer that you've been off that safety path. And the last time we met together, 2 weeks ago, we talked about relationship guardrails. And this is such an important thing in our lives, and it's so talked about in the Bible that I wanted to do it in two different parts. The last time was part one, and where we talked about how that one of the guardrails for relationships in our lives was the fact that we're supposed to have relationships. We're supposed to be in relationships. We're supposed to be in a relationship with God, right? And we're supposed to be in a relationship with each other who can help us in our awkwardness or our errant ways to bring us back. We're supposed to have those for healing in our lives. So we recognize the fact that we're supposed to be in relationships, but once we're in that a relationship, we also have guardrails or boundaries that are in place to help us in relationships. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you guys have your Bibles with you, your app, if you don't, there might be a Bible in front of you. Pick up the Bible and let's turn to Proverbs. In Proverbs, I want you to turn to chapter 4. Now this is a particular scripture that you've heard me say before. And you will recognize it when you get there. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, at verse 23, where it says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart. Now, you've probably remember me saying this before, at least once or twice. In fact, we kind of had a complete series on this one in discipleship where it was about guarding your heart and how we were supposed to be guarded in our areas of our lives. Because we can do certain things in our lives that lead us to do foolish things. So we need to guard ourselves because we can be our own worst enemy. Right? We really can do things to ourselves that get things just messed up. So we need to watch ourselves. And we talked about how we're supposed to watch ourselves in ways of what we introduce into ourselves, about watching what comes into our body, because everything flows from our heart that comes out. So we put good things in, good things come out, right? Bad things in, bad things come out. Well, I want to talk about something else that you're supposed to guard your heart from, and that has to do with our relationships that we have. One of the ways that we need to guard ourselves and that we can be our own worst enemy is by the friends or the acquaintances that we choose. We can have people that come into our lives that seem like the right people, but all of a sudden don't turn out to be the right people. You ever been there? You know, I have my brother sitting here in the pew today. I'm I'm embarrass myself a little bit, but you know, he's looking at me like, yeah, I know, Larry. I know some of the friends that you've had. You know, I know some of the things that you've done. So he's listening about this, so he knows, at least on my point, what I'm talking about. The acquaintances that came into my life, friends that came into my life that didn't necessarily lead me on the safest path, the best path that I could be on. And this is what guardrails is about today. We all have those people that we wish we would have probably never met. Those that come in and all of a sudden, that seemed really good on the onset, that they were really nice and they were somebody that was, that we could associate with and was really cool. But when later on we get into things, we find out that was a bad idea. That was somewhere I should have never gone. That was somebody I wish I would have never, ever met them. And it comes up in life that we do those. Those that we thought were really fun in the beginning, they were kind of adventurous and did things, and it was excitement that came into our lives, and we were doing things and having fun and hanging out with other people, people we thought were really cool, the A-listers, so to speak. But then they led us down a path that we go, wow, that's not what I expected. That's not where I was expecting to end up. Because they can lead you into, serious things in life. Serious situations that have serious ramifications. And this is a guardrail that's for us. And we usually meet these people through, a lot of times it's friends of friends. I'm a friend with somebody, right? And I like this friend and they're a really good friend. They're good for me and stuff. And then I meet one of their friends and I'm thinking, this friend's good for me. So this friend should probably be good with me. They wouldn't hang out with somebody that's not going to be good for me. And we find out exactly the opposite. But this particular person was not for us. Because they can lead us down the wrong path. And then this wrong path, one act can quickly change your life. One thing can quickly change your life. It could be good, it could be bad. But it only takes one. And that's the things that we need to pay attention to. That's why the guardrails in our life, so that one act will be an act of safety to keep us on the right path and going where God wants us to go, that we would end up at the destination of this journey that God wants us to truly be on. One act does this. Sometimes that act is not good, and we don't figure that out until well after it's over. And we have that, you ever guys heard, do you remember the V8 commercials? Well, they used to smack themselves in the head. We have that V8 moment where it's like, poosh. Whew. I should have known that better. I should have known. And this is especially true in our relationships. And the Scripture and the Holy Spirit are here to guide us in the safety zone with our relationships for those very reasons. I want you to turn your Bibles now to the book of John. The book of John talks about how the Holy Spirit is to guide us in the Spirit of truth. In chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." You ever figure out that part in there? I want to kind of tear that apart just a little bit to say, let's look at that last part of that sentence. And he will tell you what is yet to come. You know what the Holy Spirit is here for? The Holy Spirit here is to empower you. You ever heard that the Holy Spirit is actually your conscience telling you? You ever had your conscience tell you that, hey, don't do this, dummy. This is not right for you. That's that part he's talking about. He will tell you what's yet to come. That's part of that, where he would tell you that this is not right for you. This is yet to come. Don't do these things. He will tell you much, much beyond that. But this is the part where we're looking at, and that he will be your conscience to guide you in safety, to guide your life in the right way. But he will only tell you what he is told to speak of, and that is the truth. And the truth can be a daunting task. The truth can a lot of times be something that we really don't want to hear. But he does that to especially keep us safe in our relationships with other people. That he would tell us the truth and reveal the truth to us, that we would have that. And a lot of times if we walk in truth and we know that somebody's doing wrong and we tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, we try to speak truth in their life, we're told that we're being judgmental, right? I mean, everywhere I go in the world, I hear people talk about how, well, you're not supposed to judge me. Stop being so judgmental, so on and so forth. I mean, how many Christians say that all the time? We're not supposed to be judgmental. Well, there's certain places in our lives where we are actually supposed to be, well, pseudo-judgmental. And that pseudo-judgmental is when we're trying to speak truth into somebody's life. And we speak truth in such a way that we're speaking it in love. Now, I have a special statement I like to make when I'm telling people that they need to speak truth and love to people, and that's what I consider to be honest. That you're honest with people. Honesty is telling people everything in life, right? It's about telling people everything in life. It's about not holding back the good or the bad. You tell them everything. In fact, if you look it up in Scripture, speaking truth and love, if you look the word truth up, it actually says not to conceal. Do not conceal. That means don't conceal anything about it. Don't give them just what you want to give them to manipulate them. You give them everything so they have all the information. You try to guide them along the way, like you're trying to guide your children along the way. You speak to them in such a manner that you're portraying your love to them, but you're also speaking honesty into their life. Now, whether they listen or not, that's up to them. But this is your job that you need to do, is to speak truth and love. Jesus asks us to do that all the time, just as he did it. And it's not about being judgmental. It's about being safe and adhering to the truth. And having that in your life and it being an example of that to others that are in your life. But there's two basic areas that we really need to watch in our life. And I want to go over these two ones because these are big ones that really get us into trouble sometimes. There's many more out there, and we could make an entire series for about a year on guardrails, right? We could do this. We could pick up the Bible and we could go chapter by chapter, and these are all guardrails. But there's two big ones I want to touch on this morning. And the first one is to realize when I may be the problem. Realize when I may be the problem. We like to be servants. We're supposed to come out here. We're supposed to love on each other, right? We're supposed to be servants. God said, go out here and be servants. Jesus took the time to demonstrate this to his disciples of how to be servants. So we're to be servants. We're supposed to love on each other all the time, right? Proverbs 17:17 talks about how a friend loves at all times. And in adversity, a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for a time of adversity, meaning that's the one that comes alongside you. That a friend loves you at all times. It's not a fair weather friend. They love you all the time, no matter whether it's good, whether it's bad, right? This is how we be that we're being a servant. This is how we're loving on each other. That it's not a conditional love. It's not based upon that what they're doing at the point in time. Yeah, we might not like what they're doing, but we're supposed to love them anyway. We're supposed to guide them. We're supposed to be an example to them. We're supposed to love them. But this love is not a blank check. It's not a blank check. It's not something that you give them and say, you can go out and do anything that you want, and I'll be okay with it. That's when we have to realize that we're being a problem. When we start thinking that if I get on them about this, that I don't love them. You know, folks, there's a very fine line between mercy and enablement. Very fine line between those two. And sometimes we get them kind of goofed up. We allow people in our lives to do things that we know is not for their welfare. But it says, well, if I don't allow them to do it and I don't help them do it, then it just says I don't love them. Well, that could be exactly the opposite of what you should be saying and what you should be doing. When you allow them to do things that will eventually tear up their life. That we're not called to enable people. We're called to be merciful. We're called to love. We're called to show grace. But we're also called to be a good influence in their life. And we as Christians sometimes, and people in general, we don't do that. We're not on that side of it. We're supposed to guide with truth and love, right? The honesty. We're supposed to guide with that because that is better than anything else that we could ever give them. We're supposed to guide in the way of Jesus and what he told his disciples and what was written in Scripture and what we've learned and what we know, what we've read, what we've come to understand and what we've come to put into wisdom in our lives. We're supposed to guide with those principles and make it a part of our life so we know how to better be an example and to guide other people. You help them come to a point in life where they start understanding things and you lead them to Jesus, where they start understanding Jesus and they start understanding the guide rails that's been put in their lives for themselves. That they don't necessarily have to be led by their nose anymore. You take them to that point. But it's just like children when they're growing up. You know? I would never let my 4-year-old grandchild do some of the things that my 23-year-old daughter would. They're not there yet. They don't have those guide rails. They don't have that path that they know that they can see clearly in her life. Because she just doesn't have the knowledge and the understanding to be able to apply it and have wisdom. And sometimes we actually do that with our adult children. That we allow them to do things that we know is bad for them. This is where we have to realize that we're the problem. And we have to correct ourselves. We have to correct what we're doing. You know, it says in Ephesians 4:15, instead speaking truth of love, we will go to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking truth and love, we become to grow and become in every respect Jesus and the way he is. And I love the fact that this scripture is in the Bible because it tells us that we need to work through that. But why do we need to do that? Why do we need to have that speaking the truth and love in our lives? Why do we need to have that to become more like maturity in the body of him who's Jesus Christ? Well, if you look in your Bible, that comes out of Ephesians 4:15, that particular verse. But if you would go to the verse directly before it, in verse 14, it says this, and I'm going to have Brandon put it up for you because I want you to read it. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the churning and the craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. This is why we're supposed to speak truth and love into the people that we love. So they would not be blown back and forth, that they would not be tossed around by the waves. So that the cunning, the evil schemes of people would not work in their lives, because there is somebody outside of these doors, somebody inside, somebody of this world that wants to be cunning and wants to be evil and is scheming every day. His plan for your life, his purpose for your life is to lead you away from Jesus. And he will plan, he will scheme to his best ability to get you to do that. And I want to tell you folks, you think that you're strong enough to put up against that. You think you're strong enough to say, yeah, I can come against anything that Satan has in my life, and we're not. We do not have the ability by ourselves to do that. But because God is in our life, because the Holy Spirit is in our life, because they have placed those guardrails in there, gives us the ability to stay away from that, to recognize the scheming that goes on, to say, you are no longer an infant in this world. You're no longer tossed back and forth by the waves. You're no longer blown around by the wind, because you have these guardrails that I've written down for you, that I've actually written on your mind and in your heart. They're actually built into you. The very makeup of your body, it says that they're there. That's there for you to know it. You know these things. But sometimes in our infinite wisdom, we try to overwrite those. And the whole time, the conscience, the spirit is there screaming inside of you. This, go this way. Go this way. You're getting close to the edge. Come back. Folks, that's called temptation. It's called temptation. And you will be tempted. You will be tempted. But you also have the ability. God has given you the ability, His power, to not fall into that temptation and then sin. That's what Satan wants us to do. Wants us to purposely walk away from. You know, Jesus never enabled people, but He always showed mercy. Jesus never gave somebody the reins and says, whatever you want to go do, and it'll be all right. Jesus says, whatever you're going to go do, you go do. I'm still going to love you, but I'm not going to be all right with what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you that it's not all right. You know, you guys go into the New Testament and the Gospels, and you'll read page after page after page there where He tried to talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, trying to tell them, I'm not okay with what you're doing. I'm going to love you because I'm going to instruct you on how to be better and how to lead people better, but I'm not okay with what you're doing. And that's the way we're actually supposed to be sometimes. We're supposed to take a tough stance sometimes. We're supposed to be able to explain to people of what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be. But the closer that we are to them, the more that we actually love them, the muddier the lines get. It seems like we would let those in our family do something because we love them so much that we would never, ever let anybody else do. That line between enablement and mercy becomes very cloudy when it comes to somebody that we truly love. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter, his first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians. Let's actually go to 1 Corinthians, please. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. And I want you to go to chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote this letter because he was trying to fix something that was going on, something that so dismayed him that he wrote a very stern letter to that church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the way he started out that in the middle of his letter here. And he started and he said to them, and he was being very stern, very stern. He was trying to get their attention. He said, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? Now look at that. He says there's immorality. There's immorality in the church. But he doesn't say it's just a mild immorality. He's saying, you know what? Even the pagans don't want this. Even the pagans look at this and say this is bad. And you got to understand the area that they lived in Corinth. This was a pagan area where everything goes. Everything goes. You could go out basically and do whatever you wanted to do in this area, and it was fine. But even Paul is saying that even the pagans do not tolerate this act. This act that you have going on where a man is sleeping with his father's wife. A man is doing this. And Paul is not coming out to admonish them to say, hey, I'm catching this in the beginning. In fact, if you go to the beginning of that second verse where he says, and you are proud. Now look at that. You are proud. He didn't just say, and you're proud about it. He says, no, and you are proud. You're actually reveling in this thing that you allow this to go on, and you're proud about it that it's happening in there. You are allowing people to go down a path that will lead them to eternal death, and you're proud about it. Paul was trying to get their attention. He was trying to get them back within the guardrails, back on the path of saying, this is what you should be doing and how you should be an example to all those around you, how you should be leading all those within your church and saying, this can't be done. And Paul comes out and says, you need to cast this guy out. Now we look at that statement and go, that's pretty harsh. You know, Paul always talked about reconciliation. If you read any of his letters that he had to churches, Ephesians, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, he always talked about reconciliation first. He says, but in this particular instance, you need to cast this person out. I don't know why. It doesn't really state in there to me why, whether they had tried to intervene, whether they had not. But he says, this is it's such a grievousness, and you guys are at such a state of heart that you need to cast him out. But he did write in his letter why to cast him out. And it was not through being judgmental. It wasn't because he was mean. It wasn't because he was angry. It wasn't because he didn't care. He said this, and if you go to verse 5, it says in there why he said to cast them out. He said, cast them out. Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. He said, cast them out because I want him to be saved. You can lose your flesh and still be saved. This is what he's saying actually there. Paul is saying, I want him to go out and I want to experience the ramification of what he's doing. You need to give him the saving so that he can get his attention, so that he will turn back to God and he will be saved. He will recognize the path that he's on and he will correct himself. And in that way, he will give his life back to the Lord, and his spirit will be saved. And he will have everlasting life. Give him out. Give him out. That's pretty harsh treatment sometimes, if you just turn somebody over to their sin, right? It's not what you want to do. It doesn't make you feel good. And I'm pretty sure that Paul wasn't feeling good about this. You ever remember letting your kids or somebody you loved experience something because they just weren't listening? Because you were trying to instruct them in the way they were supposed to walk life and they weren't paying attention? And finally you just said, I'm just going to have to let you experience the ramifications of your decisions. So that way you will learn and then you will return. That's the prodigal son, folks. That's the prodigal son. That's why we're supposed to have this. When we truly love somebody, sometimes we have to make the tough choice. Sometimes we have to realize that we're the problem by not letting them live the tough choice. It seems a little harsh, but that's the way it is. There's also another way in life that we need to realize that guardrails. We need to realize that we can be fooled by those we are trying to help. We can be fooled by those we are trying to help. We put a heart out there, a loving heart, stuff like that. And sometimes, you know what? We can be fooled in what's going on. But we can be fooled in a couple different ways. Sometimes we can be fooled to the fact that we think that we're helping, and they're just doing what they want to do anyway. But there's a very specific reason that we can be fooled that they talk about in Scripture in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore them, right? We know those things. We should come around, we should come alongside, and we should help restore them, right? But he also gives a warning in there where he says, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You spend enough time around people doing things, sometimes you look at what's going on, and you think, well, that's not so bad. Culture does it all the time. I looked at the way the news was here not long ago, you know, and I say not long ago, I mean like 2-3 years ago. That's not long to me now. But 2-3 years ago, everybody was just crazy about all the pronouns and whatnot going on and the way people are acting. They were supposed to do this. You know what? People have calmed down a lot since then. And they haven't calmed down a lot since things, because they've been corrected, they've just gotten used to being around it. That now they're being tempted by this fact. that they're okay living with it. Now, I know it's not everybody, folks. Don't jump on me about it. But if you look at the way people get so used to just having things the way they are, and the world will change in a moment, and we'll be all up in arms about what has changed, but then we calm down. And we don't calm down for the simple fact that we think it's right to or wrong or whatever, but we get used to having it around. We get used to having it there. It's kind of like this pain in my shoulder. I've had a pain in my shoulder now for about 2 months. And I know what it is. Well, I think I know what it is. You know, the internet's really good about that. And Jody keeps on jumping on me and says, you need to go to the doctor. Yeah, I've been really busy. You know, I had Easter coming up. I had district council coming up. We had all these things coming up, so I haven't gone yet. And the pain is still there, but I've just gotten used to it. I'm just getting used to it being there. It's like, I don't know what it is to live without this pain right now. I'm sure that anybody that's over the age of, say, 20 knows what that is. Because we get injuries, right? We start living with these things. And I say 20 because, you know what, it seems like that we live a hard lifestyle sometimes. But we have to understand that we can be fooled by these people that come and do things in our lives, that we can be fooled by them. That we need to watch ourselves, because when we hang out with our friends and we do things, dumb things can happen. We can do stupid things, and that's S-T-O-O-P-I-D, stupid. We can do these things. We can do dumb things, things that we normally wouldn't do, we'll do those. In fact, if we were in different company, we wouldn't think about doing them at all. But because we're a particular people, it's like now we've been tempted and we need to watch ourselves, right? Sometimes, yes, sometimes this occurs when we're trying to help other people, that we're led down a wrong path or we get so used to what they're doing that we don't think it's as bad as it used to be. We just become, well, callous to it. We become used to it and having that. But be careful, folks. Guard your heart so you don't fall into that temptation. You don't fall into that trap. You don't fall into the same temptation they're living with, or perhaps even one of your own that somehow sneaks in. So we need to pick our companions carefully, right? We need to pick our companions in such a way that we walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. And when you're walking with the wise and you're walking with somebody else that may be the fool, be careful so you don't become the fool. Stay wise. That's why we always need friends. We always need mentors. We always need people that are more mature in our Christian faith than we are, or even in life, so they can show us the way and they can look at us and go, you're starting going off the path. You're getting pretty close to the guardrail. I need you to swing it back in. I love having mentors in my life. Walking the path of getting my ordination, I had to have mentors. I had to meet with them. And they spoke wisdom into my life about so many things. Things that I looked at that I thought, well, this seems right to me. That they looked at and go, you need to look at that again. See if it's right. See if it's true and correct. We need to watch ourselves. It's not just about love. It's about truth and love, right? It's about being there. It's about being part of that. It's about not concealing anything. Truth, honesty, that's all part of it. It's truth for them and truth for ourselves. And we need to walk this path in such a way that we're showing truth and love, staying in those guardrails. Because there's guardrails for each and every one of us. Jesus has put them there. If you know Jesus, then you know the guardrails. If you don't know Jesus, now is a perfect time to get to know him. If you're coming to that and you're driving on the road and you're coming pretty close to that guardrail and you're thinking to yourself, I need to come back to Jesus, or I need to come closer to Jesus, let's do that. Let's do that together. If you're finding yourself right now on a path somewhere and you're thinking to yourself, I'm about to go over the edge, or you're thinking to yourself, I'm getting really closer, then let's pray about that. Let's talk about that. Let's ask the Lord to come in and intervene in your life. I know we all go through it. We all are tempted. God said we will be tempted. He didn't say that we had to fall to that temptation. So if you find yourself close to the guardrail or over it, let's pray about it. Let's ask Jesus to get involved. If you want Jesus more involved in your life, let's ask him to get more involved in your life. If you want to truly come to know Jesus, like you don't know Jesus, let's do that. But always remember that relationships are essential for our walk with Jesus. Relationship with him, relationship with those that can lead you in a godly manner in relationship with him also. And that way you build those up and you have those special friends in your life. Those ones that are brothers built for the times of adversity. Those loved ones that love all the time and not just fair weather friends. So let's stand up and we're going to worship the Lord. And I'm going to be up here for just a little bit. And if you're one of those people that you are getting close to that edge, you know what? Don't be ashamed. Nobody's going to look at you any different. In fact, most people say if you're coming up and you're praying, that takes a lot of strength to do that. So if you're one of those people, let's pray together and let's ask Jesus to get involved and show you the safe path.